Welcome to Steppin' Out Radio. From addiction to recovery, from despair to encouragement, and everything in between. This is real life. And now, Steppin' Out Radio.
Welcome to Steppin' Out, where every week we hear new stories of people that have triumphed over adversity, but are doing something positive with the pain they've endured. And each week, we focus on different problems, whether it be substance abuse issues, it could be gambling, it could be opioid addiction, it could be anything. But we also do what we've started to do and we've done for quite a while are the family and friends of those whose loved one has had a problem. And they're here to share with us what happened to them and maybe what you can do or to look for the same problems that your loved one might be experiencing. So today I'm really, really honored to have on our next speaker. His name is Jeffrey Veach, and he has, I'll let him tell what he has, but he is been a network news writer for 40 years. He's won a National Writers Guild Award. But sadly, in 2008, his life took a drastic turn when his 17-year-old son, Justin, who actually was on the verge of recording his first music album, passed away after snorting, just a very small amount of heroin. So Jeffrey is graciously here to share his story and what he's doing now to help others. So Jeffrey, welcome to Steppin' Out Radio.
Well, thank you, Denise, and I'm happy to be here, and I appreciate your interest. My life was turned upside down in 2008 when we lost our son Justin. And let me give you a little background. Justin was a good student in school. He was a happy child. He had a happy childhood, a great time with other people, and. He had showed his talent early on in music. At six, he was taking piano lessons and doing recitals and then playing other instruments. And he amazed us with how he self-taught himself. So he was excellent, had all the promise of a young man. He played sports. He was really into skateboarding, but he also played baseball, basketball, you name it. And he was there. He actually began to record his own songs that he had written when he was 14 years old.
Wow.
And we sent him into a studio because he had all this material and wanted to see, you know, if it worked for him. And it did, and he had two of his songs recorded. Later that year, at the same time, we discovered that he was experimenting with marijuana.
And how old was he again? I'm sorry.
He was 14.
He was young.
He was 14,
okay.
And that was late in the fall of his 14th year. We found out about it, and we weren't pleased, and we battled him over this. We had counseling. Hmm. We did all kinds of things, whatever we could to dissuade him. But over time, our counselors kind of said, well, you know, everybody's doing it. Your child is probably like any other average kid. It'll probably pass. Don't focus too much, but you know, do what you can. And honestly, the marijuana issue kind of went into the background as he continued to work his music. And he went back in the studio when he was 15, recorded more songs, and then we sent him up with some software in the studio in his basement. We made a studio for him, and he recorded on his own, and he was doing great. But little did we know that something else was going on, and we didn't discover this until he was in his junior year in high school. Mm-hmm. And we were totally puzzled by it. It didn't seem marijuana was in the picture, but his moods were terrible. He was not sleeping at night. Mm-hmm. He was in real pain, mm-hmm. and we wanted to get to the bottom of this, and so we took him to a psychiatrist so he could be evaluated. We were hoping that he could get a medication that might make him feel better.
Sure.
But, you know, when he had that visit, he also had a blood test, and that blood test came back with a horrific message that he was in over his head in substances. And some of these substances included opioids. And so we were advised we had to get him hospitalized or in treatment. We took him out of school at the near the end of his junior year. Mm-hmm. And sent him to a wonderful place, a treatment center that worked with young people. And he spent a month there. And everybody agreed that he should be okay if we do outpatient and all of that. And he came home, and he was much healthier. He was sleeping at night. He was eating right. We monitored his friends. We changed his cell phone.
Was he
still seeing
the psychiatrist?
We were told to do his parents.
Sorry,
Jeffrey. To deal with this issue.
Was he still?
And as he was about to enter his senior year, mm-hmm. We went on a trip to Arizona to visit family, and he was fine. And he came home, and the Sunday before his first full week as a senior, he spent the day with some friends we didn't know. And we couldn't reach him on his cell phone, and he came home a little late. And he did his work before bed, ate a big dinner, but somewhere along the line, Justin had snorted a small amount of heroin. This was on top of apparently recreational drugs and what have you. And he never woke up Monday morning.
I'm so sorry.
And,
sorry.
Of course, our life was turned upside down, and this is in 2008, when there was more of a stigma about drug, issues, and the opioid crisis really hadn't come to light, because, we were seeing people dying, but never us, of course, that's the way everybody feels. Everybody, is immune from this, but because it won't happen to us, because our son had such great values, and he was such a kind, wonderful person, and he was so creative and inventive. So that great hope turned into, his loss. And we had a decision to make when we lost our son, like many, many parents do. We had to decide how we're going to deal with this. I was myself taking inventory over my life at the time and running through my life in my head and thinking about how I was at his age and what I was doing. And I remember I worked at a radio station when I was, starting in college. And all day long, I worked on Sundays in a small Kentucky town. And on Sundays, in Kentucky, in the Bible Belt, you don't necessarily play, regular music. You play religious programs in these small radio stations. And so here I am all day long listening to these programs. And I remembered back as I was taking inventory, and I remember this bit of scripture that was a theme for one of the shows. I think it's called The Christophers. It's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. A wonderful idea to live by. Better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. And that's when we decided, well, we're going to light a candle. We're not only going to open up and talk about everything we could about what happened to Justin in hopes that it would prevent others from falling prey, and we would also create a nonprofit to do what we could to remember Justin's legacy. We wanted to honor his legacy with a message to other people. And so we began to... We decided we would award a scholarship every year in his name, and we decided, well, he had six songs that were professionally recorded, and he had dreams that he was going to record his first album. He even had a name for it. It was called Permigrin, it would be called Permigrin, and we decided we would get his music out there on iTunes and see where that took us. And then I had a big idea that, well, maybe I can approach the people, the artists that Justin had admired, and see if they might cover some of his songs. So we managed to do that, but that's another story. But we decided we would make a lot of noise about what happened to Justin and create the nonprofit. And 9 months after he died, we awarded the first $1,000 music scholarship to a young man who would have been a classmate of Justin graduating that year.
And can you give out the, can you give out, please, the, all the information about the nonprofit, where people can donate, where people can see, find it?
Yes, we have annual scholarships and we have other programs. And you can check us out at the Justin Veach Fund. That's Justin, V-E-A-T-C-H, fund.org. And we began to do other things, too. And it took me a long time because I realized we're doing scholarships, right? We're doing music programs. We had open mics for young people like Justin, like-minded kids.
Sure.
Who need a venue to share their talents with each other. And the schools do a pretty good job, but sometimes they don't do enough. And some of these kids don't even have, aren't even in the band or in the orchestra. So we decided to do that. But in the back of my mind, I said, this is really not enough. We have to do something about the drug issue. We have to get Justin's message out there. And this was the hardest thing for me to do as a parent. I had to figure out how I could tell Justin's story in a way that might inspire other young people to take better care of themselves and to look out for their friends, which is very, very important because I talk about the safety net and how young people should have responsibility over each other to prevent these things because, truthfully, young people know much more about their friends than their parents do.
That's a great point. Now, did Justin have friends that watched out for him, or you felt no?
Well, that's another part of my talk. Now, I do a talk. It's called A Message from Justin. I actually do another talk, too, that deals with the marijuana issue.
Mm-hmm.
But A Message from Justin tells his story, and you were asking me, what was the specific question
I
again?
Asked you if Justin had friends, do you think, that watched over him?
Yes. That's a very important part of the talk because we had an opportunity to interview his friends 6 years after Justin passed. And they're all wonderful kids, and they're all doing very well. And I don't think any of them are involved in drugs at this time, although they experimented at the time. And they were very, very candid in the interviews. And I have been able to use clips from these interviews in the talk, A Message from Justin. And it also was part of the documentary that was independently produced called Whispering Spirits, which tells our story. You can even watch the film online at whispering-spirits.com. It's a 28-minute documentary which tells Justin's story, and it comes with two discussion guides that were written by professionals in the area of student assistance services in Tarrytown, New York, and it's all free and available to educators to use.
But, and parents,
we
right?
We tell his story, and, mm-hmm. and his friend's message is absolutely very, very, very important. And it provides an example. Now, his friends knew what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them knew more than others. And they didn't say anything to us.
Jeffrey?
They didn't bring it up. They didn't follow through. And we know, and I know, and let me tell you, Justin's friends, there's a key group of people, maybe 12 or 13 of them, come to our house every January 5th. For 11 years in a row on Justin's birthday.
Wow.
And I know that they feel, they carry this burden with them, that they were quiet about it. They did not say anything. And had they taken action, had they confronted Justin, had they, more importantly, confronted us or other people, other adults in the room, so to speak, that he might still be with us.
Wow. Wow. Jeffrey, that's incredible that they come back every year. Now, I have a question for you. Did Justin have siblings? Did he have brothers and sisters? Was he an only child?
Yes, he has one sister, Elena,
mm-hmm.
who was a freshman at the time he died. And it was obviously a traumatic situation for her. He only had one sister.
Right.
And fortunately, she has done exceedingly well. Mm-hmm. And she's actually a member of our board of directors at the Justin Veitch Fund, which is a nonprofit 501c3. She graduated from Skidmore College in upstate New York in 2016. And I mean, she was really, you know, excellent student that worked so hard. She was fifth in her class of more than 500.
Wow.
And now she's working in Washington, D.C., for an advocacy organization that promotes causes and, you know, teaches organizations how to promote their causes.
So she's doing...
So we're very proud of Elena. Fortunately, you know, she... And they had a wonderful childhood together. And you can see some interaction between them in the film Whispering Spirits. It was a very healthy relationship until, you know, we hit this bump in the road that was... that so many parents are experiencing with their children when they turn into teens and they begin to go out in the world and want to see things for themselves, and that includes experimenting with substances.
Then,
and that's what happened to Justin, and it started with marijuana. I have another talk I do from marijuana to heroin, one parent's story. Yes, marijuana can be a gateway. We never know how one young person is going to respond to this, you know, this drug. It's not the same drug as it was 10 or 20 years ago. It's much more powerful, the levels of THC. And so some of Justin's friends smoked marijuana, too.
Sure.
And they weren't impacted in the same way. One young man, is now an architect. And, you know, they could take it or leave it. But for Justin, something about him was different. For him, the marijuana triggered interest in other mind-altering altering things. And we don't know why this happens, but it quite often does happen. And people think, well, you can't get addicted to marijuana. Well, the truth is 9% of people become addicted who use marijuana, and if they are teens, that number goes up to 17%. So it's a red flag.
Was Justin depressed?
I'm sorry?
Do you think Justin also suffered from any kind of depression?
Well, that's the thing we reconstructed. We knew he had anxieties. His anxieties weren't really seemed to be an issue because he had such great self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Yet little did we know that his anxieties came into play. That might have been the marijuana, and that might have been the reason why he began to experiment with other things. And these were the opioid painkillers that we hear so much about. First of all, it was the recreational drugs, maybe ecstasy.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very difficult thing to reconstruct what happened to Justin. The medical examiner took 3 months to analyze things, and they said it was one of the most difficult cases they had.
Wow!
There was a lot of substances in his system, even though he had cleaned up more or less, and he never had to be detoxed from anything. It was just experimenting with different things. But the picture that came out in the autopsy was that, you know, he had heroin in his system, and that's what they believed, you know, did the job. And he wasn't injecting heroin; he was snorting heroin. A lot of people don't realize you can, you know, through your nose, nasal passages, it can be lethal just to, you know, sniff things.
Sure.
So that's part of the message that I deliver to kids: how easy it is to overdose or to get involved in drugs, and you just don't know. And I like to point out that family history is very important. If a family has a history of drug abuse or alcoholism, that should be a red flag to everyone involved, the parents and the kids.
Did your family have it?
They have to be very careful.
Did your family have addiction background?
We don't have a drug issue in our family, but we had alcohol.
Yeah, which, right.
And they are, of course, alcohol is related. It's another substance.
Right. It's a way to change the way you feel. And some people can have a couple of drinks on the weekend and stop. And, you right. know, why do others? It's a disease, really. That's why.
Right. And I know folks who are in the wonderful people who are in service to our country go through a lot of stress. And there's a lot of things that come up.
Well,
and
we're on the
might be the easiest solution at times.
We're on the Armed Forces Radio Network, so gosh, and we support our troops like you. And you're right. I mean, the stress. Well, the stress they have is over the top of any young person. But the stressors of today are for young people are incredible, because I also speak at colleges, or we bring the show to colleges. And there's so much anxiety, really, also because of social media. There's a lot of good social media does, but there's a lot of angst that it causes. You
Absolutely.
Know, when we talk to young people and comparisons and, there's such a surge in young person's suicide and even older people's suicide.
That's so, right. And we put so much pressure on young people to succeed. Sometimes, we lose sight of the fact that this push to succeed isn't measured enough, and it overloads their system, and then they turn to other things. That's all the reason why we have to be much more vigilant. And my advice to parents is that they get to know their child's friends, because their child's friends hold a key as to what they're doing, and they may also. Had we had a better relationship with Justin's friends, and we did have a relationship, we knew them, but had we been even closer, maybe they would have confronted us, knowing that we would appreciate what they're telling us, the information they're giving us. So my advice is get to know your child's friends as best you can, and make sure you know who they're dealing with, who they're out, and for us, Justin was so focused on music, we didn't seem to need to worry.
Right.
But he tended to isolate himself under the stress or the anxieties he had through turning to, the marijuana first and then other things, which wasn't the problem was when he moved away from marijuana, we couldn't really see a picture. We didn't see the mm-hmm. signs. The symptoms that were out in the open
right.
so much
sure.
Until later on, like when I said his junior year, when things began to go downhill, we began to see he couldn't sleep at night, his moods were bad, and he was even cutting classes, which was pretty alarming.
Right. But again, look at what you were told. The experts told you, well, don't worry about the marijuana. Everyone's doing it, which I think happens. Again, we go to colleges and, it's like a rite of passage. Well, everybody's drinking, everyone's trying this and that. And, it's still something we can't just write off and say, oh, all right, well, after 4 years, they'll be okay. It's just.
Yes, and that's the reason why we need to be so vigilant, because when it comes to alcohol or marijuana or anything, we have to, we never know how one person is going to react to it, and if they get carried away,
right.
Then they get in trouble. It takes some time. It doesn't happen overnight necessarily, but over time, the situation, can develop, and that's what happened with us. And by the time we really knew he had a problem that he needed to be hospitalized for. Or go into a rehab. The situation was already pretty severe, and it's hard to turn that ship around. But we had great hope
yes.
when he came home from his 30 days, in the rehab situation, because he was making all kinds of progress, and he seemed to be happy.
Wow.
He was back working his music. And then that terrible Sunday
Oh, Jeffrey, I'm so sorry.
The afternoon with friends, and you know that's what happens with relapse, if you want to call it that.
Well, there's so many, and again, we hear these stories on the show. We only have about a minute left, actually.
Sure.
So, again, you're a beautiful person. You're doing wonderful things. You certainly don't sound bitter. You took, you know, something so tragic, and are doing, you know, such good work, and it, you know, it's so tragic, and I'm so sorry, but. A lot of people, you know, can't do what you do. So for that, we're very thankful. And if you want to just, you also do a podcast that I wanted you to mention before we sign off.
What I decided to do about a year ago was to give voice to other people. We know one out of three people are impacted by drugs or alcohol or whatever. And the podcast is called The Drug Crisis: Faces Behind the Struggle. And I'm trying to give voice to folks who have issues and want to talk about their story. And you can look up the podcast. You can also reach out to me if you know someone that wants to be interviewed. The email is Jeff at the Justin Veach Fund. That's V-E-A-T-C-H fund.org.
Well, Jeffrey, thank you so much. Again, our condolences about the loss of your beautiful son, but continue good work, and we'll definitely stay in touch since our missions are so aligned. You're listening.
Thank you, Denise, and good luck, everyone.
Thank you. Listening to Steppin' Out. I'm Denise McEntee, your host. Go to our website, Steppin' Out Radio, for lots more stories. And if you think your child or a loved one has a problem, go on this website. It will help you so much. Okay, everybody. We'll see you next time when we go stepping out. Take care.